From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, February 27th, 2017. And on this day, concerns from Maine's U.S. senators about Trump administration activities around Russian ties. And an open house in Portland for people who want to learn more about Muslims in Maine. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Maine's two U.S. senators are expressing concerns about reports officials in the Trump administration tried to get help from senior intelligence officials and members of Congress to push back against news reports on Trump associates' links to Russia. Steve Missler has details.
At issue is whether the contact between the Trump administration and key lawmakers could compromise what is supposed to be an impartial investigation into Russian interference in the election and allegations that Trump campaign associates interacted with Russian operatives. Some Democrats have called for an independent inquiry, arguing that the congressional probes could be derailed by partisan interests. Maine's two U.S. senators, independent Angus King and Republican Susan Collins, who both serve on the Senate Intelligence Committee, had previously expressed confidence in the impartiality of the Senate inquiry, arguing that it will be thorough, nonpartisan, and faster than one conducted by an independent panel. But the Washington Post report could affect that confidence. It showed that the Trump White House had enlisted U.S. intelligence officials and Republicans leading two separate probes into the Russia affair to knock down news reports about intercepted conversations between Trump associates and Russian operatives. And that is a problem, says King.
If the Senate Intelligence Committee is going to issue a report that's going to be accepted by the American people, people have to have confidence in it, and they have to believe that it's bipartisan and uninfluenced by the White House or anybody else for that matter.
Collins also expressed concern, saying in a written statement that the Intelligence Committee should avoid actions that, quote, might be perceived as compromising the integrity of our work. King says he has not yet spoken to Senator Richard Burr, a North Carolina Republican who chairs the Intelligence Committee. Burr has acknowledged that he had conversations with the White House about the veracity of the news reports in question. Burr told the Washington Post that he believes his discussions with the White House are appropriate. Republican Congressman Devin Nunes, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, sided with Burr when confronted by reporters on Monday. Nunes said the White House was simply trying to get its side of the story out to the press.
Now, so here you have the White House actually trying to communicate with many of you and trying to communicate with the Congress about what they're doing, and now suddenly that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
But King isn't buying that reasoning.
To say it's no big deal to be in touch with the White House when indeed part of the investigation involves this president, to me, just doesn't make sense.
Nunes also told reporters that he has not seen any evidence of inappropriate communications between Trump aides and Russia. King, who has been briefed by the same intelligence officials, was asked if he agreed with Nunes.
Well, here's the difference between him and I. I'm not going to answer that question because I don't think it's appropriate to be talking in any way about information that we've seen as part of this investigation until we've seen it all.
The FBI is also investigating the Russia controversy. Several lawmakers, including prominent Republicans, have said that Attorney General Jeff Sessions should recuse himself if the FBI probe yields prosecutable offenses. And King agrees, based on the fact that Sessions and his deputies are appointed by President Trump. Collins could not be reached for an interview, but did issue a statement that did not address the call for a special prosecutor. She and King both expressed concerns about White House contacts with key lawmakers, but they also both appear to still believe that the Senate probe is the appropriate way forward, at least for now. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
In the aftermath of the presidential election, Muslims have received an increase in both positive and negative attention. In an effort to reach out to groups from both viewpoints, the Maine Muslim Community Center in Portland hosted an open house yesterday. Patty White has our story.
As a second-grade teacher new to Portland, Emily Troll wants to connect with the families of the Somali students she works with. She says that's been increasingly important recently because of the changes she's noticed in her classroom.
They're really stressed out. They're really anxious. I've had a really peaceful class all year until about January, and then tons of kids started just like really needing the social worker and not being able to solve problems.
Troll says President Trump's travel ban that targeted Muslim countries has caused anxiety among her Somali students. Troll was among the more than 70 visitors who came to the Maine Muslim Community Center open house to offer support. They were welcomed with a feast that featured Somali breads and pastries and a lineup of speakers, including Community Center Director Ahmed Abdirahman.
Well, after the election, we have been getting so many letters, cards, emails, people coming in sometimes with cookies saying, you know, we are sorry. We are here with you. We welcome you. We support you. What can I do?
Along with the kind gestures, Abdirahman says the Muslim community has also experienced an increase in negative behavior.
You know, you're driving and the next driver will give you the middle, you know, the middle finger, things like that. And my wife had somebody spit in her face walking.
Abdirahman says at first the Muslim community wasn't sure how to respond to both the negative and positive attention.
We talked among ourselves and said if we just keep going and be silent, might not be that helpful. So to overcome the fear of those who fear Islam because it's unknown, because it's a scary thing, and also to appreciate who are coming forward and saying, you know, we welcome you, kind of uniting the two group and starting an outreach that overcomes the negative and the hate, let's do a day for it.
I have never felt as welcomed as I did when I walked in the door of today's event.
Kathleen McKeon says she wanted to get to know her neighbors. The open house provided an opportunity to mingle and listen to a call to prayer.
Everyone just, they welcomed me in, they fed me, they invited me to listen, and it was amazing.
Sam Coulson came with his Muslim neighbor, whom he befriended over a backyard grill. Coulson says that relationship and others he's developed with Muslims changed his view.
I grew up in a very religious home. You know, my father was a Baptist minister. So there's even people in my family that have this notion that Muslims are terrorists and they all want to kill Christians, you know, and that kind of nonsense. And I feel like my life is richer, you know, for the Muslims that are in my life and the things that I've learned from them.
Deka Dala, a U.S. citizen from Somalia, says she hopes the open house will encourage more interactions between Muslims and non-Muslims.
Yes, come to the mosque. The mosque is open.
Visitors are always welcome, she says. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Later on, All Things Considered, President Donald Trump lays out his budget priorities. But first, while more high school students in Maine are going on to college these days, they're taking their time to graduate. More than half don't finish within 6 years, and some don't finish at all. As Robbie Feinberg reports, one university in rural northern Maine hopes to curb the rate of dropouts and prepare students for the working world by taking a different approach.
We talk about the inside and the outside of the cell. We're going to use this term potential.
The first few minutes of Scott Dobrin's anatomy and physiology class at the University of Maine Presque Isle looks like most any traditional college course. Dobrin stands at the front of the class and lectures on topics such as cell membranes and depolarization.
So if we have one of these subunits that have positive charge...
But then, after about 15 minutes, the lecture comes to a stop, and Dobrin offers his students several choices for how to spend the rest of class. They can start a worksheet, start reading for next week, or maybe retake a test from an earlier unit.
Anybody want to redo assessment one now? A little bit of time?
This isn't your typical college class structure. In fact, over the past 3 years, UMPI has become one of the first schools of its kind in the country to fully embrace what's called proficiency or competency-based education.
And so what we've done with this curriculum is, okay, here's a very specific learning outcome.
UMPI's Director for Student Success, Vanessa Pearson, says that when a student walks into school as a freshman, they're no longer told, these are the classes you have to take to get this degree. Instead, they're given a kind of educational roadmap roadmap. Over the next 4 years, they have to show they're proficient in more than 100 learning outcomes on topics such as critical thinking and communication. The idea is to give students more control over the pace of their learning. While students still take traditional classes with grades, they're now also assessed on their understanding of the learning outcomes that relate to their particular field of study.
So it's easier for students to understand, instead of just taking this random math class, this is what I'm going to learn in this particular class, and so then this is how it applies to my major as a police officer.
And perhaps the most radical thing the school has done is to basically get rid of the failing grade for many students. Now, if a student does slack off and not go to class, they will fail. But for students who struggle with a specific topic or can't get a paper in at the deadline, they can be given a grade of NP. That stands for not proficient. Those students then sign an agreement with their teacher at the end of semester to get their work finished within about a month. If they do that, their grade will likely go from an NP to a C, a B, or even an A. Junior Allison Lopez says getting an NP was actually a huge help in anatomy class. She says it gave her time to really understand the subject before submitting her work.
So with having that extra time to complete the work that shows my level of competency, I felt better because I know I could take my own time on it.
And by avoiding an F, students can continue toward their degree without having to retake the class, an obstacle that can prompt some to drop out. UMPI Interim President Raymond Rice says that can make a difference here in Aroostook County.
Only 20% of people in Aroostook County have a 2 or 4 year degree, so we really have to see that move up towards 30% and 40%.
This kind of approach has been used at the college level, but mostly for specialty programs or online degrees. Very few, if any, traditional public universities have tried it on a school-wide level. And researcher Lindsay Doherty says competency and proficiency-based education has rarely been used for 18 and 19-year-olds who may lack the self-discipline to manage their own progress.
Students are going from something where they're being forced to sit in a high school class every day to completely self-managing and being 100% responsible with significantly less structure.
But officials at UMPI say they've created a system that, if anything, gives these students more support than a traditional college. Still, the approach has its critics. UMPI's Director of Student Success, Vanessa Pearson, acknowledges that she's seen complaints in student surveys that the system may actually reward procrastination.
It promotes the lazy students, or that it gives students, you know, that they have extra chances, so why try to do it on the first time?
Ultimately, though, Pearson says there's evidence that the three-year-old strategy is working at UMPI so far. She says about 60% of those NPs are now turning into passing grades, which officials say should help students graduate more quickly instead of having to retake entire classes. The result of all this change won't be known for a few years, but educators across the country will be watching what happens at the University of Maine at Presque Isle to see if proficiency-based education can really work at the college level. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, February 27th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.